Hi, I'm Sam Smeltzer, and you're listening to the Heartworker Book Club podcast, where we talk about the powerful cultivation practice of reading and writing to inspire both personal and professional growth. You're tuning in during the 2022 Book Club, where we dive into the practice of reading just 10 pages a day to uncover some life-changing lessons in three incredible books. Welcome to the club, and I'm so happy you're here. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Heartworker Book Club podcast. This is probably the episode that we've all been waiting for, when we get to actually dive into the insights of this season's book club and the books that we're reading. So we briefly went over in the last episode that we're reading three books at the same time: The Mamba Mentality, Think Again, and Living Buddha, Living Christ. Three very different books, as we introed last time. And we're all here today, this evening, to chat about first impressions of the books. More than first impressions, because we're a decent chunk into this group has been reading. We've been doing some serious reading, and now able to really kind of sink in and talk about what is being revealed maybe at this time. But before we get there, I think we had a check-in about 2 weeks ago, and one of the things that was really interesting for our conversation is the struggles we were running into while trying to read these three books and getting used to that according to personality. You know, from my teaching brain, it sounded really cool. And then, you know, an application and, you know, going through the exercise, it's a different kind of reckoning that happens as well. So does somebody want to start and kind of share how that has been, maybe how it has changed or what your approach has been? Because I know we've kind of all intuitively been guided to how we've been attacking these books and slowly kind of going through them.
Yeah, this is Karen. I think that I was the one that brought up the initial difficulty with it. And it's interesting because it's changed for me a little bit. So off the bat, I was trying to stay with the reading assignments, and I was trying to do one book every night during the week. And the reality is that I didn't have the time to read that book every night. So I would start batching them. And then it got really difficult for me to turn off my Think Again brain and then turn on my Living Buddha, Living Christ brain. And so what has been easier for me is to do a week of one book or a long batch of one book, process that, and then move on to a different book. That's been the most successful for me. I will say, though, that Mamba Mentality is the one book that I can pick up and put down pretty easily, because the way that he set the book up, it's short snippets, and it's easy for me to say, okay, I've absorbed that part of his journey, and now I can kind of close it and then revisit it as needed, because they're shorter snippets. But the other two, I can't alternate every other night. I have to batch it. My brain just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I have to agree. This is Liza. Yeah, I have to agree. So that's what I've been doing as well. Sort of focusing in on one book and all of the reading for that one book for a couple of days and processing that and then moving to the next book.
How about you, Ben?
This is Ben, and I think I did what everybody else is doing, because at first it's kind of hard to jump from a sports book to a philosophical book to a religious philosophical book. So it's kind of like, how do you make those connections every time? So what I did was, like, I read The Mamba Mentality first for a week, went to Think Again, and then went to Living Buddha, or did I say it backwards? Oh, Living Buddha, Living Christ, excuse me. And pretty much just making sure that I tried to understand it and try to, like, draw common themes between one another.
Yeah, and I think I'm probably right there along with all of you. I kind of found myself falling into a rhythm where every book has, like, a certain time and place during my day. So, like, I found that I did Living Buddha, Living Christ almost first thing in the morning. And then Mamba Mentality was kind of like my reading assignment during the day. And then I find that I was reading chunks of Think Again actually switched to the audiobook. And so that's been while I'm getting ready in the morning, listening to it in the background, and also while I'm driving. And that's the only way that I've been able to manage the shifts, like, is by putting them in these weird buckets, like morning ritual, filler, you know, reading, and then like my little reading assignment, because Mamba mentality is kind of like reading a magazine article when you dive in there.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about why I read certain things at different times of the day, but the way that you explained it actually makes a lot of sense for me because, so I read Think Again on my commute to work and on my commute back from work because I connect a lot of what I'm reading in Grant to what I'm doing every day. And I'm reading Living Buddha, Living Christ at night because, I mean, for me, that book is a little bit of an internal journey into my own relationships with what I've learned about Christ in my growing up, but also the connections between both. And I need to be able to almost fall asleep thinking about it, right? Like, it's just so end of the day, kind of meditative almost. And then Mamba mentality, actually, I pull out when my husband's around and when my kids are around because it's interesting, right? Like it's just something that we would have never picked up. And it's a really interesting way for us to just talk about something completely out of our sphere. Like, so I just think that's a really interesting point that you made. And I've never really connected why I read certain things at certain times.
Oh. I love that idea of pulling Mamba mentality out with the kids and with my husband because he would totally be down with that because I know he's been watching that book and, like while it's traveling around the house and it's, you know, it's natural for me to riff on Think Again or Living Buddha or Living and, you know, Living Buddha, Living Christ, and then Mamba mentality just kind of weaves through in the middle of it all, and I think he's waiting for me to like riff on Mamba mentality and I might be letting him down there, so maybe that's a way for me to get that in there.
I know that for me, I've read all the books at night. I mean, I'm not one of those people who can like read stuff before work. I kind of just roll out of bed and just say, "Ugh, gotta go to work." But with that, I think reading it at night after going through the day, you can kind of relate what you do in like your day job to the books, and it's kind of like a way to reflect on how you perceived your day and just a way to think about it throughout the nightly news. If you watch that or if you watch sports, listen to certain podcasts, like I listen to Joe Rogan on the way to and from work, and it's kind of like when reading the books, relating it to certain aspects of your life. So just like being able to comprehend that after dinner and just like thinking about that as you watch different shows and experience different parts of your life.
Well, and I think that's a great lead-in, Ben, to kind of what has resonated most strongly out of the pages that we have been reading so far. And, you know, a couple weeks ago we did our little mini check-in and Karen pointed out that she was already hearing the themes that were going through this. I also think naturally, what I love about Think Again, it almost sets my mindset open to absorb Mamba mentality and Living Buddha and Living Christ. And I find like it's almost I'm putting it into application when I start reading those other books, you know, whether it's me revisiting being open-minded about my views on Kobe from back in the day early on, or, you know, revisiting religion and being completely open. Because, you know, I read Living Buddha, Living Christ and think about people in my past who maybe would not be so absorbing and open to this kind of book from my traditional religious upbringing. But yeah, so how about the rest of you? What are the themes that you're seeing? How are you seeing these kind of weave through each other? How are they feeding and nourishing each other? How are they making or amplifying one another? What have you noticed?
Yeah, very much the same thing, Sam, that I find in reading Think Again that is sort of the outline or the base from which I compare the other books. So when I'm finding themes, I'm finding them with Think Again. So in the fact of the matter is all three books are success stories in one way or another. So to find what is the recipe, no pun intended, for success, there are those common threads. Rethinking, thinking things from a different perspective, finding that perfect team, that great team, and what makes that that perfect teammate, and making sure you're always challenging yourself. As soon as you think you know something, understand that you don't know something. There's so much more to know. So all of these are recurrent themes in all three books. And it's brilliant because you have such very different personalities. People who wrote these books may otherwise have never met, but they are all driven by something that's beyond themselves, and they're following the same patterns of thought. When you're reading through how they did it, why they did it, they all have a completely different story. So all the characters are changed and the setting is changed. But basically, this is very, very similar stories, backstories. And it's brilliant. So Adam Grant has done a wonderful job. I do have some questions for him, but I want to get to the end of the book because, you know, there's some things that sort of have me thinking, you know, why he would come at something from a certain perspective. But I want to get to the end of the book because I have a feeling that he may tie everything up nicely at the end of the book. So I'll reserve, you know, my thoughts on that. But yeah, so I mean, just from there, the very beginning, the smoke jumper story in the beginning of the Think Again book, I mean, that really grabbed my attention. How in the world, when your life is on the line and the life of your teammates are all on the line and you're in the middle of a fire, would you light a match and burn the grass around you and think that that could work for everybody? I mean, and obviously it did work, but what a risk that he took. But that story really, that resonated with me. That just, that opening story, that was brilliant and sad. And yeah.
One of the biggest pieces I think that I didn't put together until for all three until for me this last week of reading was, I think a common theme that I'm seeing is this search, this the basis of curiosity is being kind of the driving force for understanding how things work around you, which was easy for me to see in Think Again, maybe because, so I picked the book and I think that maybe my brain functions more in that way, but I really appreciate Hans, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Hans' way of really being curious about the relationship between, or the similarities between Buddha and Christ, the teachings, the way that individuals have followed those teachings. And then just recently, I started really thinking about the patterns of curiosity that Kobe had in how he, I mean, really, if you take the Grant's thinking around, if we think about life through the eyes of a scientist, then we're always kind of looking for how things could be different, could look different, and then acknowledge that we, none of us have the answer to that, and it's just this constant journey of discovery. And it wasn't until just recently that I put the themes of the other two books through, well, I put Mamba Mentality through that theme. And I can see his journey of having to constantly kind of look at himself through the eyes of how do I change things so that the outcome is different? How do I practice or keep this practice of, I mean, discipline and just constant forward movement to be really just the phenomenal athlete that he was. So for me, it's really the curiosity and the science brain that I can, the scientific reasoning almost, that I can see through all three. And it's it's just a very eye-opening way to look at all three of them. That was the trend that I saw.
One of the biggest trends that I saw is just being able to have an open mindset about life, where it's like in Think Again, where they have the story about the guy who guesses about like who's going to be the president in the 2016 election, and like Kobe Bryant being able to read the ref's handbook, and Living Buddha, Living Christ having a whole section about transformation. It's just like being able to change who you are to be a better human being and a better teammate, where it's like Kobe Bryant was a very outspoken kind of player, and like he tried to help his teammates transfer and like become better players to help win and be overall better people, and just like trying to think about stuff from a different mindset. Like when he read the ref's handbook, it was like nobody wants to read the ref's handbook and like read the official rule book, but then like being able to like understand stuff from a different perspective makes you feel like, huh, I was wrong about that. And like with Think Again, where they were saying that, oh, we were wrong about not saying Trump will be the president, because overwhelmingly a lot of people wanted to vote for him. So it's kind of like being able to transform your mindset and admitting when you're wrong. Like Kobe admitted in the book saying he got a lot of technical fouls, and it's like not many people want to say like, oh yeah, I did that. But being able to admit that is something that takes a lot of character and a lot of guts to say.
You know, as I listen to all of you sharing and this concept of being open or being curious, you know, it takes me back to, you know, my first time going into like therapy sessions. Like that was always the therapist line. Like, Sam, today I want you to get curious about why you feel that, or curious about. And, you know, that's why I think this group is so powerful, because it is like a mini kind of therapy session. And I think that's why books are so powerful too, because it's making you go through a mini therapy session while you're kind of reading. And it's just interesting to see this being a resource. Just hearing you guys say that, I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm listening to my therapist telling me to get curious about, you know, transformation and even certain events and rethinking about things.
Sam, this is interesting, because I actually, these three books for me are bringing up a lot of personal, kind of just, it's therapy for me. And you know, I'll make it personal, by saying that I think I mentioned in last season's podcast that, I lost my dad tragically when I was younger, in my formative adult years. And at a time where I didn't really get a chance to know him as an adult, so have conversations like this with him. And these three books, kind of unknowingly, until I started reading them and then was going through my own therapy reading all three of them, are three books that I think my dad would have picked up. We would have probably sat together and read through them, and we would have had very interesting and just very brainy, heady conversations about. So in a lot of ways, when you say that these, you know, some of these trends are therapy-like, I have had conversations with my husband just recently about that. My dad was a scientist, you know, his whole life, was a psychology major when he was in doing his undergrad. And then towards the end of his life, was really trying to understand his view of religion, right? So like how he was, he grew up Jewish, and so it was just kind of grappling with his science world, mixing with his, he was a very devout Jew, and then also very, very connected to sports, especially NBA. So I just think about how all these three books came into my life right now, and just the conversations I'm having with myself when I read them. And I just appreciate that you talk about it being a sort of therapy, because I have found for me that books, especially recently in my life, are my way of just kind of working through my own brain, my own issues. And especially this time around, it's very powerful for me. So I can really connect to that.
Another big thing about these books, they also kind of help you understand what's going on, like, politically and going on in the world right now, especially if, like, the Ukraine and Russia kind of, and, like, the war in Ukraine kind of makes you think about the perspective of how, like, sport, religion, and philosophy impacts certain events like this, where even in sporting events, a lot of, like, big like soccer matches in the English Premier League are showing like Ukraine flags and like having stances against Ukraine, and how there's one of my favorite English Premier League soccer teams, Manchester City, they have a Ukrainian player and they're like showing, saying like, we are standing with you, and like giving him time off to go fight in Ukraine and like be with his family. So it's like having the line between like philosophy and taking care of one another, religion, trying to make sure that you understand things and like try to understand like what's going on there, and a kind of religious aspect and how sports impacts the political landscape. Even if like Black Lives Matter, a lot of like still big soccer matches, they kneel before each game to show that they stand against racism and stand against a discrimination of any sorts. So it's kind of like relating books like these to the landscape that we are in, and like being able to comprehend it so you can understand it instead of having an uneducated opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Karen, to what you were saying about sort of these three books almost having like a parental guidance feeling to them, they do, and the three of them fit together so very strangely well. And Ben, you're talking about how appropriate it is right now. I mean, the whole section in Living Buddha, Living Christ on war, and it just sort of right now, of course, with the war in Ukraine, it was just heartbreaking for me to see the Russian Orthodox bishop get on the Russian television and basically preach propaganda from the pulpit. And it was just painful and heartbreaking. And knowing that, I mean, I couldn't imagine what was going through his mind and why he chose to go ahead and speak on behalf of the state. But that was exactly what Thich Nhat Hanh was talking about in that section on war. Another part that absolutely stuck with me was about picking your team and your friends and those people around you, and the way in, disagreeable givers, I think, was the term. I absolutely love that. I mean, and you can see it. As soon as he said that, I just thought, oh, that is perfect. Because you do want somebody who says, okay, this is not right, but from a standpoint of caring, then that person says, let me try this to make it better, because they care. Versus the person who says this is not right and goes home and tells everyone they know this is not right because they're not doing it right, and that's why it's not right. And that's not the person necessarily that you want on your team. But I just love how Adam Grant's bringing that in such a clear way. You can really get a sense of who you want on your team. And if you find somebody who's being disagreeable, in perhaps just for the sake of being disagreeable, then it's easy enough, because of what we're reading in Living Buddha and Living Christ, to think about that person's situation and what might make them so disagreeable, and have a little bit of compassion and bring them around to some better footing, so that they have a bit more confidence and understand the importance of their role in, you know, in whatever you're doing together. Mm. Yeah, in the group. Mm.
Yeah, it made me think a lot about the conversation we had last season around courage. And, you know, I think, Ben, to your point around connecting it to where we are right now in just this day and age, that it takes a lot of courage, I think, to bring to the forefront, you know, I'm wrong, or B, I disagree with what's going on, and then being able to elevate that to a place where you can, you know, they talk a lot about community of practice in both Think Again and in Living Buddha, Living Christ. How do we, you know, accept that within ourselves, find the courage within ourselves to do that, but then also, you know, in community, try to find that so that we can make change, and impact, you know, impact change in communities at a small scale, but even at a larger scale. I think that's, I wrote a lot in this book, and I said, when did we lose that sense of really kind of doing the right thing, right? Prioritizing certainty over curiosity. We always want to be right over, you know, is it actually right? Is that actually the truth? And so I just think there's, for me, there's a lot of just, you know, we kind of lost our footing, I think, Liza, to your point, right? So how do we find the courage to do that, to find it again, and then to surround ourselves with people who want to do that together, for greater impact, positive change?
And it would seem to me that for the most part, the bulk of people want to be disagreeable givers, but maybe we just don't know how.
You know, as I have been reading these books, you know, typically, I think, Karen, you spoke to this, you know, wanting to read Think Again before and after work, because I like to take the practicality and apply it to, you know, what I'm seeing in a professional stance. But this blend of all three, you know, really has started to, the application has become greater for me, that it just hits on a much broader perspective. And I don't know if that's because the brain is shifting so much, but, you know, whether it's from, you know, thinking again, you know, just the stories about, like the one where he mentions about the study where the, they have those attorneys that basically go after those Harvard students and, really pound into them about their values and core beliefs and having them kind of defend them. You know, one of the things that I have been, you know, looking at for several years, especially in leadership development, is how we don't really give anybody a chance to solidify their beliefs, to really have them solid at a place that if you were attacked, you could stand up against them like that. Like, we know kind of what we believe. We know what kind of is wrong, but it's not like we're preparing arguments all the time in those situations. And so, you know, as I think about, you know, Think Again, it slowly makes me sometimes overwhelmed at how many things I think that we've just taken for granted and put into these boxes because it made it simpler. And really, we need to be revisiting and breaking it down. And then I think of like Kobe and his discipline and his practice and his dedication to his work. You know, that takes integrity to a whole nother level. And then it makes me think, well, how do I have to be integrity with myself that I can be a top performer? What does that look like? And it doesn't have to look like the norm. What does that look like for me? I mean, that takes almost rituals and health and everything to an extreme. And then, my gosh, Living Buddha, Live a Christ. I mean, that takes two of the worlds that I've been trying to merge in my brain and mush it all together in a way that I want to be fully present and I want to be there. And so literally it's been, you know, I can't even explain in the last 2 weeks. I think I've made some major adjustments in my life, and I think it's a huge testament to what's been coming up in these books, whether it's me revisiting my values, me revisiting my work ethic, me revisiting my focus, me challenging clients to think about things in different ways. Because I just feel like, I don't know, like new pathways of my brain are being developed or something. It's weird. I don't know. I don't know if that makes any sense at all, but that's what I've been dealing with. That you've all caused, because you picked the books. I did not.
Well, I thought it was really incredible so far, just in reading Mamba Mentality, that Kobe was really on a spiritual journey. And where we are right now, I guess his body is starting to break down, his fingers broken, he's hurt himself a few times, and he is separating his body from his spirit, from his soul. And he's seeing his body more as a machine, and he's doing everything he can to take care of it. But his journey doesn't seem to necessarily involve, although it does involve the body, if one thing's not working, he moves to another finger to make that the dominant finger. And when he meets up with Nike because of his injury to his ankle, he rethinks the shoe completely and makes Nike reconsider everything they thought to be true about basketball shoes. So it just, and it's all, it, whether he was aware of it or not, I don't know, but there was something very spiritual going on in Kobe's journey.
Another thing that I notice about all these books is you need a strong cast of characters in your life to have you around. Like in the Kobe Bryant book, with he has the trainer that goes with him, he has the massage person going with him, he has Phil Jackson, one of the best coaches, he has specific idols. With Think Again, you have having a strong group of people challenging your ideas and trying to like help you. Think outside the box, you can view situations and be able to say, I was wrong. What can I do to fix it? And with like Living Christ, I always get that book name wrong. With trying to like be able to like think outside the box and like try to understand a different religion, you can kind of like have different characters in your life try to like say, view it this way so that you can try to like view stuff in a different perspective so that you don't think in one little tunnel that you can just like have different avenues in life to think about.
Yeah, I agree, Ben. I thought that that was a theme across all three as well. This need for community and for finding strong people to bounce that kind of bounce that off of. That's really the wrong word, but yeah, I found that too. I also connected that to some of the themes that we found last season, which was interesting, in especially in the Simon Sinek book.
So today I had a really interesting conversation, actually on another podcast episode. So somebody was checking out another podcast episode. The book club's just infecting it all. But they had talked about Walt Disney and intuitive leadership. And the comment that came up was, if Walt Disney is an intuitive leader, then obviously Steve Jobs has to be with Apple. And the first thing that came to mind for me was the story in Think Again about those engineers coming at him to do the iPhone. So the iPhone wasn't even something Steve Jobs was on board with originally. And what I found myself, and maybe this, once again, these weird pathway thingies that are creeping out of my brain, but what I found myself thinking about was, what kind of organizational foundation is present? That you've got basically a surrounding level, a team that is that visionary. And this is what made me think about this, because Karen, you brought up Infinite Game. It's almost like there's a just go cause embedded in there that those guys would charge in until Steve Jobs said yes. They would strategize until it happened. And so, and I said, when you think of Apple is an intuitive organization rather than an intuitive leader leading an organization. And I think that is a really interesting concept, because when we talk about Apple, I mean, like, I know Steve Jobs is associated with Apple. We know that there's other executive leaders associated with Apple. But most of the time, it's talked about Apple as Apple, because there's a collective that's producing this, technology that is embedded into all aspects of our life right now, that's almost creepy to some extent. But it makes me really, from a people perspective, like, I want to get in there and tear it apart to understand, how did you build your organizational structure that you've got these people that are so jazzed up that keep pushing the organization to be better. Because I think that's way beyond just one person at the forefront. And like, you know, I feel like there's something there that we haven't even begun to discuss and unpack, because we're seeing hints of it from, you know, Infinite Game or Think Again, you know, being present, you know, all the things that we're talking about right now. You know, we're just waking up to this concept, and now it's like, where are the examples and who are actually pulling it off, and what were they doing that manifested these kinds of outcomes?
Yeah, I had that question when I was reading Grant, you know, because I think one of the, and I'll just speak for myself, you know, when we think about the concepts that he's bringing up around, you know, be more curious, be okay with being wrong, you know, thrive on your ability to say, I'm wrong, I want to learn differently. It's interesting because I don't know a lot of examples of places where the top leadership is that way, and therefore there's a underlying culture of it's okay for us to continuously learn from our, because people advance. I'm going to say just generally, this is a, you know, I'm generalizing, but people advance by being good at their job, by being right, quote unquote, right? So all the time being right. And whatever the culture has identified is, oh, you're right all the time. So you keep moving up, right? You're doing well, whatever we define that as. And so for me, it's, I think I have the same question, Sam, which is how do we switch the success of being, well, if everyone's questioning and everyone's bringing these things, regardless of where you are, whether it's direct service, middle management, whatever, then you change the culture, and then it's not being right all the time that advances you. It's your ability to kind of think on your feet and be able to redirect as needed, right? Push the CEO to think about the iPhone. And I agree. I don't think that we're there. It's a really interesting, and it's scary, right? Because who wants to be the first person to be like, oh no, well, I think you're wrong, right? I mean, most people would be like, I'd be fired, right? So how do we, I think that's a great point. How do we find courage to say, this is truly who I am as a person. I want to be this way. I want to surround myself at work personally with people like that, and then flip the script. I mean, I think it's difficult. But again, it reminds me of the conversation we had around the Infinite Game, which is, it's about courage.
Yeah, and as I was reading the same section in Think Again about the, you know, the scientists and how they can be excited about being wrong because now they're less wrong than they were 5 minutes ago, which is brilliant to think about it that way. And I just thought, is there a genetic component to how they're thinking? You know, is this something that's sort of in their makeup? And that's why they were drawn to science in the first place, perhaps. I just wonder. And because some of these thought processes have just never crossed my mind, you know, to think about it, and that it would be so freeing to be detached from all of your hard work in such a way that you're willing to be wrong and put your career on the line for that. But then switching over to Living Buddha, Living Christ, you know, in order to change, it begins with practice. It begins with simple, small steps. And eventually that evolves into being able to change your thought processes right from the beginning, which is something in Mamba mentality we are watching Kobe do chapter by chapter.
So we are, as always, fly through time very quickly, and we got like 5 more minutes here. So I guess we'll do kind of a round robin, any kind of final thoughts, whether it's just something that's come up from our discussion today, if there is another section of the book that you wanted to highlight. You know, for me, you know, I think that's just where I am today, is just don't let your current perspective limit where you are today. And I really challenge you. I know this, the name of the book is Think Again, but I think we're in a prime time to rethink the way we do everything in work and life. And question everything. Be curious about it. I don't think we should just assume something should be as it is. Because even something as simple as presence, you know, being truly present in the moment, living Buddha, living Christ, blows up mindfulness in a whole new way, so that you know. And once again, takes me back to last season with Liza and the jeans and the denim and you know, really going into those detail and being present in that moment, which I think is what we're all really after, because I think it's when we're able to have peace in that moment that we can really enjoy life. And I don't think we're going to get there unless we do start to shift our thinking. And so if there's anything, I would say this first batch of reading has inspired that for me. And I look forward to seeing where it leads, because I agree with you, Liza. I think we're just at the beginning of this journey.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm enjoying breathing more than I've ever enjoyed breathing in my life. Reading these three books, I'm enjoying breathing in and breathing out.
I love that so much.
Any final thoughts, Ben?
Never give up and just keep on keeping on.
Yeah. What about you, Karen?
You know, it's not final thoughts about the book. It's just when I'm with this group, I'm just reminded at just how grateful I am, I think, for the four of us to be able to get together and to just take time to share insights. I learn something new every time that I sit with the three of you. And I think, to your point, Liza, that's practice for me, right? The ability to sit and just absorb and share. For me, it's about reading these books. It's for myself, but also reading them in community with you. And when we have conversations like this, I always leave just thinking, I'm just so grateful for that. It's an hour, but it's very impactful.
I love that you closed it like that, because I will tell you that no matter what has happened earlier in the day, when we get in this group and we hit record, there's not a moment that I spend like wishing the time goes faster, thinking that it's not well spent. It's always exactly what I need. And it's just, yeah, it's a beautiful gift. And I have no doubt that those who are listening, it is a gift to them as well. You know, wish that we could see all of you as you're participating in this book club with us, but know that we can feel you as you're reading with us in this larger community. And thank you for joining us. And we'll be back next month as we continue our journey through these three incredible books. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Heartworker Book Club podcast. I hope that it served you. And if it did, the best way that you can support this podcast is by leaving a review on your favorite listening platform. And until next time, happy reading and writing.